Hello and you're very welcome to this week's, where we have another tribute show for you. And this week we're doing it on the legendary Jimmy Murray. Of course, as we know, he captained Roscommon to two very special All-Irelands in the 1940s. And to take us through this this tribute to a legend of Roscommon football, we have Ray Lennon. Hello, Ray. He surely was a legend of Roscommon. Of Roscommon football, and I'm sure, like you just like me, we both had the honour of meeting him, and a gentleman to the absolute core, and a very inspirational man as well. I met him at many a Roscommon Gaels dinner dance now, and he gives his time very generously, and he's a man you could talk to all day about football. He just loved football, didn't he?
Great, lovely man, Aidan. A very humble man, Jimmy Murray. And I suppose the three greats that we've covered so far, Dermot Airlie, Gerry O'Malley, and Jimmy Murray, have that trait in common, you know, the characteristic of humility amid their greatness as people and as footballers. And three of the most decorated players probably in Roscommon's history, Dermot Airlie, Gerry O'Malley, we covered the last time, and tonight Jimmy Murray. Gentleman Jimmy, of course, the man that won the All-Ireland in 1943 and 44 and captained Roscommon to the Holy Grail, as the man says, the Sam Maguire Cup on two occasions, Aidan. And Jimmy Murray was born on the 5th of May 1917 and lived all his life in the Crockery, where the famous pub and grocery still remains to this day. And he died on the 23rd of January 2007 at the age of 89. His club was St. Patrick's in the Crockery, with which he won six Roscommon Senior Football Championships in 1942, 43, 45, 46, 48 and 49. And he was a noted hurler, and he won a Roscommon Senior Hurling Championship with Roscommon Gaels in 1938. But of course, he's best remembered for his exploits with Roscommon, starting off as a with the junior team in 1940 when they won the All-Ireland, and then captaining Roscommon to win their first Connacht Championship, Aidan, in 29 years in 1943. Imagine that, a gap of 29 years, and beating Galway, who had won the previous three Connacht Championships, they beat them in Comans Park by 2-8 to 10 points. Then they went on to beat Louth and play Cavan in the All-Ireland final. So Jimmy won a total four Connacht Championships. He won two All-Irelands, and he's the only man, Aidan, to captain his county on five separate occasions in an All-Ireland final. He led Roscommon around the field behind the Artane boys band on no less than five occasions, until Stephen Cluxton has come into the scene now, and he has led Dublin on many, many occasions in winning. He's won six All-Irelands, and so Jimmy Murray led Roscommon around the field twice in 43. There was a drawing game with Cavan and a replay, then in 44, and then in 46 there was a drawing game and a replay. So an incredible man was Jimmy Murray, Aidan.
That's it. Not many captains can say that they've captained their county on no less than five occasions. But of course, remember, I think it was in the 40s too, you know, where there was one of the All-Ireland finals. I'm not saying necessarily for Roscommon, but there was an All-Ireland final in the Polo Grounds as well, wasn't there?
There was, Aidan. In 1947, Cavan beat Kerry. Cavan, led by the gallant John Joe O'Reilly, beat Kerry in the Polo Grounds in New York. And that was a game where Roscommon thought they would get to, because in 1947 Roscommon beat Sligo in the Connacht final in Ballina, a game we covered on GAA Memories a few weeks ago.
That's right, yeah.
Roscommon by 2-12 to 1-8, and they were very impressive. And unfortunately, Cavan beat Roscommon by 2-4 to 6 points in the All-Ireland semi-final, and Cavan went ahead to the Polo Grounds in New York. So there was great excitement in Roscommon that year, because everybody was looking forward to the chance of getting to play in New York. It had been determined in 1946 that the 1947 All-Ireland final would be played in New York. There was a delegation delegation from New York came to the convention led by John Kerry O'Donnell, and the reason that they put forward was that they needed some sort of Irish cultural occasion to give the Irish Americans a lift, because there had been no immigration to America from Ireland in the late 20s or 30s because of the Depression, and then there was no immigration from Ireland to America in the 40s up to 1947 because of the war. And the occasion of 1946 convention, it was passed that the 1947 All-Ireland would be taking place in New York, which was a great thing because the Irish in New York were probably a bit lonesome for home, and there was less people coming out, new people coming out. So it was a great gesture by the GA fraternity, an organisation, Aidan, to grant the New York board the honour of hosting the one and only All-Ireland football final to be played outside of Croke Park.
Well, I suppose really when you look at it in the modern day, there's kind of something kind of familiar. Maybe not, obviously nothing is ever as special as hosting an All-Ireland final, but we say nowadays now in Connacht, obviously we know New York are in the Connacht final now. Or the Connacht Championship, and usually when the draw is made, whoever is drawn against New York gets to travel to New York for a Connacht Championship game. So that's another way. Like every year, well, I think with the exception of this year, New York are in the Connacht Championship, which is a great boost, I suppose, for the people of New York, especially the Irish American people. You know that they get, their relatives and that can go over for the games over New York. Be it, people from Roscommon or Galway or Mayo or Leitrim or Sligo. It's a lovely thing every year where people from whatever county they get to unite with their relatives and they get to watch a great game of football. And in fairness, there's been a few very close games there. New York gave a few of the teams in Connacht a few close games. That's great to see.
I think Aidan, the trip to New York is absolutely brilliant. I think I speak for everybody in Connacht, Roscommon, Leitrim, Sligo, Mayo and Galway fans, that it's great as long as New York don't win. As long as we come home with a win. But you're right. In 2016, we had a very close shave in New York. And Galway, under Joe Carolan, had a very close shave. Leitrim, I think, as well. And Sligo, all had close shaves. I remember I was over there in 2011 and everybody thought New York would give Roscommon a good game because they had a few good players. They had an O'Connor guy from Kerry, a big fella full forward, and that former Wexford player Rory Stafford, and I think Jason Killeen from Galway was playing, but they had some really good players, and everybody thought Roscommon would not struggle but find it hard. But Roscommon had under Fergal O'Donnell put in a very professional performance. I think we were 3 goals to the good, Aidan, after about 10 minutes. It was really, really good. The Roscommon got the game done and dusted after 15-20 minutes. There was no lingering doubts about the game and who would win, and I think Roscommon eventually clocked up something like 4-15 to maybe 9 or 10 points, but it was a brilliant performance by Roscommon. But Jimmy didn't get to captain Roscommon, Aidan, in the polo grounds. That honour fell to John Joe Riley, the great Cavan man who's been remembered. John Joe Riley, the gallant John Joe. But getting back to Jimmy's career started with Roscommon with the minor team in 1935 and 36, and the minors were very poor. Roscommon football in the 30s and in the 20s was at a very low ebb. We weren't competitive at all in Connacht. We had only got to one Connacht final at that time in 1931, and we since 1914 when we won our last Connacht final, it really had been a drought, and football was at a really, really low ebb. So Jimmy played on the minor team in 35, and they were beaten. He was also joined by people like Hugh Gibbons, who later went on to play with him in the senior team, and he was on the minor team with Jimmy, Kevin Winston as well, Doc Callaghan. But they were very, very poor. But in 1936, they lost the Connacht Championship match to Sligo. and the same in 1937 in the senior championship. And Roscommon were at such a low ebb, Aidan. In 1938, the county was regraded to junior. And Galway's junior team beat Roscommon in 1938. So you can imagine Galway's reserve team beating Roscommon now. It's just incredible. But that's how low Roscommon were, very, very low. And they often say the darkest hour is the one before the dawn. And that was the dark hour, because who would have believed in 1938 when we lost to Galway in the Connacht Junior Championship that within 6 years we'd have won an All-Ireland Junior, two All-Ireland Minors and two All-Ireland Seniors. It's absolutely incredible. So that's why there's always hope. There's always hope in a county, and looking at Jimmy's career, it just tells me no matter how things go in Roscommon, there's always hope. And Roscommon have a tradition of coming with teams every so often. We mightn't have a great team every year, but certainly every 10 years, every 15 years, a great Roscommon team raises its head, which is absolutely brilliant. And we've seen that so often, like in the 40s, in the 50s, we had two Connacht championships. In the 60s, we were in an All-Ireland final. We had the great team of 72 that won the Connacht championship, the great team of the late 70s, early 80s, the great team of the late 80s, early 90s. And then we had Francie Graham and Frankie Dolan's team, Fergal O'Donnell, 2001. And now, Fergie in 2010, and now Anthony Cunningham won last year, and Kev McStay. And I hope we're on the cusp now with this panel we have of something great. Wouldn't it be absolutely brilliant if we're standing on the threshold of something great? Because we've got some right good talent. But anyway, in 1938, we lost the junior championship to Galway. So Jimmy was asked one time how would he account for football getting strong again in the county, and he credited his football skills to the CBS in Roscommon, Edinburgh, he went to.
Yeah.
And he says the De La Salle brothers, the Christian brothers, he says there's a lot of Tipperary men there, and they're great men for football and hurling, and they really imbued that will to win and that desire for playing football in Jimmy, and that was a great influence on him. You know, and we spoke there recently about St Mel's and Longford, St Aloysius and Athlone. You know,
The likes of St Mel's, Roscommon, and CBS, all of those teams in Jarlett's, teams, they are effectively, they're kind of like another county minor team or another team as such, because those teams are made up of players from different clubs as well, and they're like a stepping stone to county minor.
Same as Edna, and I'd say back in 92 when I was on the minor team in 93, I went to St Mel's, and in St Mel's, in my 2 years there, we had seven of the Roscommon minor team. We had myself, Dermot Washington, Ross O'Callaghan, Richie Glover, and Keith Murphy. Then Conor Kennelly came in, and then Donald Carr. So that's seven of the panel. And if you looked in at the CBS, you had likes of Alan Nolan, Kevin Keegan, Jason Hoare. Conor Kennelly was there as well at the time. You know, you had other players as well that had played in the CBS. Like Francie Graham went to a great football nursery. He was with Carmelite College in Moat.
That's right.
And I played against him in the Leinster Championship in 92, you know. And,
that's very good. it's amazing what happened. Yeah. And I remember actually, funny you should say that, he played for Carmelite College. They played the CBS in a challenge match actually in the height.
Yeah.
A game that we got the afternoon off. It was just a challenge game, but we were just asked to go along to watch it, like, you know, because as the one of the teachers was a good friend, you know, he was a sound guy. You don't remember you might have heard of him, the late great Kieran Byrne, a real passionate GM from Newsburg. Yeah,
I heard him.
And he said, well, why don't you come along and watch it? So we went down anyway, and Francie played absolutely brilliantly that day for Carmelite College. But, you know, as you said there, they were a great nursery, but it would have been kind of the one of the lesser-known colleges in the Leinster Championship, in the Leinster Colleges Championship, like the likes of St Mel's and colleges like that would be more well-known, wouldn't they?
Well, in that game in 92, Francie was probably, he was Carmelite's best player, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, he was the best, no question. And he was only 16, so like he was the best, he was one of their best players. So they were struggling at that time. But in the 70s, Aidan, Carmelite College had a great record for winning All-Ireland colleges. I think Val Daly went to it. I think John Mahon, I could be corrected on this, but I have a feeling John Mahon, Val Daly, Aidan O'Halloran played for Offaly and Westmeath. They had some very, very good players in the Carmelite and Moat. And they won, I think they won the All-Ireland or the Hogan Cup at least twice or three times in the maybe once or twice in the 70s anyway, and they were a great team. But Jimmy accounted attributed the CBS Aidan for his love of the game and his the training he got from the teachers and the Christian Brothers. Like, so they instilled that into him, you know. And he had, Jimmy always had a great competitive streak in him. All the people say that he was fiercely competitive and he drove other players hard in training. He could be constructively critical, but his encouragement was comforting on the field.
A bit like Fergal O'Donnell, really, nowadays.
Absolutely. Course, and, course, yeah. And sometimes with football, you have to be cruel to be kind as a fellow player or whatever. Like, you know,
I think it's the way you put it. It's the way you say it too, isn't it? Really,
you have to be charitable. You know what I mean? There's a way of saying it. And I think most players are big enough to take it on their chin.
When a coach comes to them and says, listen, you could have played better, the player knows already.
Yeah.
And they kind of say, well, you're right, you know. Yeah. But I think, you know, if this, I suppose, like you just said there, if the coach says, listen, you didn't play that well today, but do it in a constructive way and just say, well, listen, this is where you went wrong today and we can work on that in training, and, you know, then it won't happen the next, you know, something like that, you know, I suppose we're always saying it, but I suppose John O'Mahony now would be one of the managers that would be like that. Like, he always just seems to, no matter where we go, and no matter where he goes, Leitrim, Mayo, you know, he's been Galway, you know, any of the teams that he was ever with, he always, even our own St. Bridges here in Roscommon as well. I was on the Gaels senior panel. We played them actually in the championship, and they won that day there in Johnstown. And, you know, that game went to extra time. It was a game we could have won, but look, it's just one of those things, could have, would have, should have, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he just got that day, or that season, because they actually went on and won the Meadows that day, and they went on and won the county title that day.
Yeah.
Or that season. So, well, he obviously just has that something when it comes to coaching. But I suppose Jimmy made such laid him out to be a very good captain doing the two in a row as well.
Absolutely.
But Jimmy, from another point of view, you know, Railway Cups, he would have represented Connacht in the Railway Cup as well.
He would indeed, Aidan, and Roscommon were the dominant team in the 40s. If you look at it, Galway had been very strong in the 30s. They won two All-Irelands in 34 and 38, and they won three Connacht championships in 40. 39, 40 and 41 as well. So they were really dominating, and Roscommon then knocked them off their perch in 1943. Roscommon played Galway in the 1941 and 42 Connacht finals, Aidan, and in 41 we lost by a point to Galway, and in 42 we lost by a point again, this time in Ballinasloe. But Roscommon's resurgence happened in 1939. Roscommon were in Division 2 of the league and won the Division 2 league with Jimmy on the team, and they were in the Junior All-Ireland series that year. They won the Connacht Championship, and then they beat Limerick in the semi-final in Galway. And on the Limerick team in 1939, and the junior team, was the great Mick Mackey and his brother John Mackey, who were the star Limerick hurlers of the 30s and 40s, and also Jackie Power. Jackie Power was on the Limerick team as well. He played hurling for Limerick in the 30s and 40s. He was the father of Ger Power, that played for Kerry. Do you know the great Ger Power, captain Kerry against Roscommon in 1980? And he was from Limerick, but he moved to Kerry, and he was a native of a place called Anacotti. It's just outside Limerick City. It's near the university. I went to college in Limerick University. The odd evening I might go for a walk up towards Anacotti.
It's a fine place. I was with the Midland School Boys League for a very famous tournament called the Kennedy Cup. We stayed there for the week for the tournament. We actually won the bowl, and to see the facilities, it's like a city in itself.
In being there and looking at it when I was there in the 90s, just to finish that, there's a great statue of Jackie Power in Anacotti, but the college itself in Limerick is just incredible. You know, the facilities they have, like a 50 metre swimming pool, they've got everything to do with sport. I went down there a couple of years ago to look to see how it was now, and they've expanded across the river into County Clare with rugby pitches, Gaelic pitches. It's just phenomenal. And it's all
self-contained. And our old man Malcolm Dalton, played for UL in the Freshers.
Malcolm won the Freshers. That's right.
When he was there, he was in goal for them. So it's, you know, there's a huge connection with Roscommon players down the years in UL as well.
That's right, Aidan. And in fact, Malcolm played corner forward. It was in 94, yeah. They won the All-Ireland Freshers, and that was my Freshers year. Myself and Malcolm were great friends, and we shared houses down through the years in Limerick. And Malcolm was corner forward. He was absolutely tremendous. I was the sub keeper on that team, and the first choice goalkeeper was Dermot Murphy, the Kerry goalie who won 4 All-Ireland. So Dermot was a good friend of mine and a great goalkeeper. So I was sub to Dermot that year. And also on the team was Keith Murphy from Roscommon. He's from Ballyleague. Brian Walsh from Sligo, played for Sligo in 98 against Roscommon. Darrow Canadia played for Kerry for years, won 2 or 3 or 4 All-Irelands. Morgan O'Shea played for Kerry as well. And then
good company, so
there was great players, yeah. And there's a guy called Tom Davey from Sligo, he's a really, really good player as well. He was centre half back. He didn't play much of the senior Sligo team. He played under 21. But yeah, that was the 1939 semi final, Aidan, against Limerick, which Roscommon won. And yeah. Jimmy was now in his first All-Ireland final, and that was the All-Ireland Junior Final of 1939. But alas, Roscommon lost to Dublin by 2-6 to 1-6, Aidan. So wow. It was a disappointment.
I suppose really, by modern standards, that's quite a low scoring All-Ireland final, or quite a low scoring game, isn't it? 1-6 to 2-6,
yeah.
Yeah, 2-6,
but
you
look back at the games in the '20s and thirties, and even before that, you could have a game like a goal to 2 points or 2-1 to 1-2, very low scoring. Yeah. You know, probably. Well, I suppose maybe the conditions of the field weren't that great and whatnot, but the scores were low.
Maybe very talented goalkeeper, so.
Maybe, yeah. But Jimmy lost that final, Aidan. They beat Mayo in the kind of final. But in 1940, the Roscommon team came back with Jimmy involved as well. And in the kind of final, they beat Mayo 1-7 to 2-1. So they beat Mayo by a goal. Then they beat, that was in the semi final, and they beat Galway in the final. So they're now in the beat Galway in the Connacht final. So on that team in the Connacht final, junior final of 1940, there was Frank Glynn, who was in goals in 1943, J.P. Doc O'Callaghan, full-back, Owen Zihore, the great Owen Zihore, Kevin Winston, Jimmy Murray, late Dr. Donald Keenan, Pat McManus, and Dr. Hugh Gibbons. So there were some great players that went on in the 40s to play in 43 and 44. So the semi-final was going to be Cavan, the great adversaries. Aidan, Jimmy's great adversary, even though they had great competition against Kerry, I'd say Cavan were probably their greatest, Jimmy's greatest rival. He played them on 4 occasions in championship matches, and he won on 3. But in the semi,
that would have been their strongest decade, really. Cavan's, wouldn't it be in the 40s as well?
40s and 30s. They won the All-Ireland in 33 and 35, and they won the All-Ireland in 47 and 48 and 52. So they won 39 Ulster championships. They have 5 All-Irelands, and all between 33 and 52. The 5 finals came. But in the semi-final, Roscommon beat Jimmy's team, beat Cavan by 111 to 7 points. And Eamon Boland, the great player Eamon Boland, he was on the minor team in 1939 that won the All-Ireland, came in at midfield and made a big difference. So Roscommon then beat Westmeath, Aidan, in the All-Ireland Junior Final on the 6th of August 1940 in Longford, Pierce Park, by 2-7 to 5 points, and Jimmy had his All-Ireland medal, the first of 3, the great Jimmy Murray. So you ask yourself, how did Roscommon transform from being the whipping boys to suddenly becoming a great team, a great rival for the best?
Would you attribute that to maybe the players that were coming through at the time? Maybe a certain player that they had the core of a good senior team, but they just needed that, a bit of extra youth coming from the minors and under 21s at the time. Maybe that's what, that combination probably was. What one of them, the players that they had coming through as well.
Well, there's no question the Roscommon were blessed, Aidan, in the 40s in that. Yeah. And Jimmy said himself that every player that was on the 43 and 44 team had either a minor or a junior All-Ireland medal in his back pocket. So Roscommon won the junior in 40, the minor in 39, the minor in 41. So the most of the 43 and 44 team, the 44 and 43 team came from those three teams. You know, like the Liam Gilmartins, the Bill Carlisses, these great players, Brendan Lynch, some of the greatest players that ever played the game in Roscommon came through on that line on those three teams. Like, Eamon Mungie was a great Mayo footballer, and he wrote different books at different times, and he said, like, Bill Carless, Brendan Lynch and Fela Murray were one of the best half back lines that ever played, and like, they came from the 1939 minor team, you know. So but here's the other thing, Gaydon. You have a perfect combination. It's so important to have good players to be successful, but it's also so important to have good a good county board or a good backroom team and good mentors. And Jimmy attributed their success not alone to the good players they had, but also to two men, Dan O'Rourke, the county board chairman, and JJ Fahey, the county secretary. Two of the greatest stalwarts in GA history, both Roscommon men. Dan O'Rourke was born
the right attitude as well, and I suppose everyone singing from the same hymn sheet as well, like that, you know, everyone working together. That's would be another key thing as well, wouldn't it?
Correct, Aidan. But in 1939, for the junior final, Dan O'Rourke brought the Roscommon team for collective training to his home at Tarman, outside Castlereagh, and he billeted them in a property that he had there beside the house.
That's right. I was actually showing the pitch where they used to train.
Yeah, and they would spend 2 weeks training for big games. So in 1939, there was a garage built later, a garage and beds put into it, Dan O'Rourke's own house, where Dan O'Rourke's wife and children fed them and looked after the team. And they brought in a guy called Tom Malloy, who was a trainer for Galway in 1938, to train the team. And he was a former Galway player. And that brought Roscommon to a brand new level, Aidan, of professionalism and fitness. They became increasingly fit. So they adopted the standards and the type of training that other teams are doing. And collective training was quite common back then. So teams would spend maybe 2 weeks together in training for a big match. So Jimmy attributed Dan O'Rourke to starting off that. Now, in 39, 40, 41, they did all their collective training at Dan O'Rourke's outside Castlereagh and Tarman. But 1942, they acquired the old infirmary, the old hospital in Roscommon, which is now the county library. And there, that's where they stayed and trained for 2 weeks. So these guys took their time off their work and everything, and they trained collectively. So these guys were professionals. We asked ourselves, were they doing the same training as the boys are doing now? They're doing more because they were in a professional environment. They would train twice a day. Yeah. And there was another guy called Toddy Ryan, who was the masseur. And there was an old saying that Tom Malloy was a very hard trainer. But they said that Tom Malloy would stiffen the boys up and Toddy Ryan would soften them out again. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like good cop, bad cop. But they were great people. They trained really, really hard. And they did that right through the 40s, Aidan, that collective training. And Dan O'Rourke and JJ Fahey, what amazing people they were. They were so foresighted. They saw the talent. They probably recognised the talent that Roscommon had coming through, Aidan, you know. They probably saw.
It's a wonder, like, with the success of that, you know, back, and I'm sure all counties would have done that collective training. It's a wonder that, I suppose, as the game changed or as society changed, they probably had to, they weren't, you know, teams weren't probably in a position to continue on the collective training situation.
Yeah, the GA.
That was back then, you know.
The GA banned it, I think, in the 50s, Aidan, because it was too probably costly, maybe, and too, it was banned by the GA anyway, collective, because it had the sort of connotations of professionalism about it, Aidan, you know.
Yeah.
It might have been.
But also from the point of view, the players, the place that, you know, the jobs that the players were doing, you know, their occupations, the companies they were working for or whatever, probably were, like, you know, for 2 weeks at a time or whatever, they were without these players, they were without those workers, you know.
Yeah.
So there could have been that would have been an element, I'm sure, as well.
I'd say so, because, like, nowadays you couldn't have collective training with the players having their jobs and careers, and but also it's sort of like, the GA is an amateur ethos, so collective training infringes the amateur ethos in a way, you know, because, yeah, you know, you're talking about professional. But the 1939 was the start of that, with Dan O'Rourke, later became president of the GA, and J.J. Fahey, after whom the Fahey Cup is named, you know, the county championship, you know, which was great. But so in 1943, as I said, Jimmy, 1940, Roscommon won the junior. In 41 and 42, they lost narrowly to Galway in Connacht finals. But 1943, that was the year. That's the year that Roscommon and Jimmy announced themselves on the scene. They won the Connacht final in Roscommon against Galway by 2-8 to 10 points. And suddenly, they're in an All-Ireland semi-final against Louth. And yeah, the semi-final took place, and Roscommon won that by 3-10 to 3-6, and it was on a very wet day. So Jimmy talks about the great Louth players that were there at that time. Eddie Boyle was fullback. He was reputedly one of the great fullbacks of all time. Jimmy Coyle and Peter Carr. Peter Carr went on to play soccer for the Republic of Ireland. He played for Louth in 1943. So Roscommon beat Louth in that 43 semi-final, and now we're in the final, Aidan. The Roscommon, yeah, Cavan All-Ireland final of 1943. So Jimmy often described the build-up to that game against Cavan. They were the big team in Ulster. They'd been in five All-Irelands in total. They had great footballers like Tom O'Reilly, John Joe O'Reilly, Mick Higgins, Joe Stafford. They were the top flight of football. And Roscommon were coming from a very low base. So Cavan had won two All-Irelands in the 30s, in 33 and 35. And between 1931, Aidan, and 1955, Cavan won something like 20 out of 25 Ulster championships. So Cavan were really the aristocrats. Roscommon were nobody, really. But suddenly they're in the final against Cavan. Another feature of the final aid against Cavan was, do you know the primrose and blue jersey that we know and we're familiar with Roscommon today, the yellow jersey or the gold jersey that we wear?
Yeah.
Well, up to that final, Roscommon wore the Tipperary jerseys, with a blue jersey with a yellow band. But they changed it in the final because Cavan were wearing blue. And to save a colour clash, Roscommon wore yellow. And we've been wearing that yellow jersey since, except, you know, if we have an away game against Armagh or something. But
and obviously, like we mentioned this on the show before, but in your minor final in 92, we wore the Tipperary colour jersey as well.
We did
against Armagh.
And do you know something? They're beautiful jerseys. I think Roscommon wore them in 1977 and 1980 against Armagh in the All-Ireland Senior Semi-Final. You see Dermot Early wearing them, Tony McManus, you know, Mick Finnern, Jigger Connor, John O'Gara. They're absolutely beautiful jerseys, and I personally would love to see Roscommon's away jersey being the Tipperary jersey again, you know, rather than they've adopted sort of like the Clannagale jersey or the Longford or Wicklow jerseys, the away, the all blue. But I'd love to see them go back to the traditional blue with the gold hoop in, you know. But that's another.
I'd say that out of all the jerseys you would have had for the different teams you would have played, I'd say, you know, that will be probably the one that you probably treasure the most, because, I mean, it's the design of a shirt that you don't see Roscommon wearing, or they haven't worn it in a long time.
We haven't worn it since then. I don't think we've ever worn it since. And it's the most special jersey to me, Aidan, because I was the goalkeeper that day, and I actually wore the Roscommon jersey, you know, the yellow jersey. So in my one and only day out in Croke Park, I had the privilege of wearing the Roscommon jersey, the yellow jersey, the blue togs and the blue socks, whereas the outfield players wore the Tipperary jersey.
And you wore it in your cake father as well. I remember that. I did it.
So Jimmy often described, Aidan, the feeling of the final day and the feeling in the dressing room, and he said that he could cut the tension with a knife. He says there was great feeling among the team, you know, the team had a great confidence. So he was the captain, and he said that being captain made him play better. And then going out onto the field, first thing he saw was the green grass. He heard the cheering of the crowd. It was his first time a Roscommon jersey had been seen in an All-Ireland final at Croke Park. He thought of the people sitting in the stands or standing up on the terraces. He thought about the great feeling marching behind the band. He remembers passing by Micheál O'Hare's commentary box. And then, he said, he thought of the people at home. You know, That's what he did. And he says, look, he said to himself, we have to do our damnedest, he says. Then he went up and he shook hands with Tom O'Reilly, the captain of Cavan. And then he said, once he made the toss, it was time to get out of dreamland and get focused on the game. It was absolutely brilliant. And he says he had thousands of thoughts, hopes and wishes going through his mind. You know, so that's a lovely description that Jimmy himself has described in an interview of the build up to the game. But the match itself, Aidan, and the draw, it was a drawn game the first day. It finished 1-6 apiece. But it didn't start well for Roscommon. They were 1-2 to a point down after no time. And at half time, they were 1-4 to 3 down. And then at the half time break, two people came into the Roscommon dressing room. And, you know, we have the rivalry in Connacht, but you know, when a Connacht team gets out, you support them. You know, that's the way it always has been. Ulster teams do the same. But at half time, two Galway men came into the Roscommon dressing room. They were Brendan Nestor, who after whom the Connacht Championship is named, the Cup, and John Tull Dunn. Now, they were Galway players of the 30s that had won All-Irelands, and they came into the Roscommon dressing room. And the Roscommon guys were sort of a bit down. And Jimmy Murray said that the two of them said to the Roscommon team, listen here, lads, you may never be back in this game in a final again. Go out there in the second half and give it everything. That's what he said. Jimmy Murray said that John told him. And it sort of motivated them. You know, they got out of themselves, if you like. You know, it helped them. You know, and it was lovely gesture in by these two Galway men to go in and two stars of the 30s. You know, John told Dunn and Brendan Nestor and told them, this could be your last day ever, lads, in an All-Ireland final. Go and make the best of it. So anyway, Roscommon had a great start to the second half. And who scored the goal? Only Jimmy Murray. He said a ball came into the square, it broke down, he pulled on it and into the back of the net, and he said
the great skill that is the high ball, the high feeling of the ball, isn't it?
It's
what makes Gaelic, it's one of the most special skills in Gaelic, and like as you and I would appreciate being goalkeepers, it's certainly my favourite. I love the high ball, and there's just something special about seeing it, but also like having experience as a goalkeeper. It's just, you know, you have to admire it. I mean, you see it in soccer for goalkeepers do it as well, but there's just something about seeing it in, you know, catching the high ball and turning, and you know, it's just a great skill.
Aidan, and you talk about high ball, but in 1930, 43 and 44, Roscommon had arguably, people say, from what I've read, Eamon Boland and Liam Gilmartin, and people say that they were two of the greatest midfielders of all time. And they played for Roscommon. Now, Eamon Boland played for Roscommon for 15 years. He was still playing in 52 and 53, if I'm not mistaken. But Liam Gilmartin got sick in about 46. I think he got TB. I'm not certain, but he got an illness, and it sort of finished his career. And he only died last year, the poor man. Lord have mercy on him. He was 94, 95, But Liam Gilmartin was on the minor team in 39, and he was an incredible player, along with Eamon Boland. And they were great fielders of the ball. And I totally agree with you, Aidan. There's nothing nicer in Gaelic football to see great fielding like Shamie O'Neill in his day, Seamus Killorden, John Newton, you know, Paul Earley was a great fielder. Dermot Earley was a great fielder. So, like, we've had some great fielders. But Aidan, one of the great fielders I've seen in my time as well in Connacht was Willie Joe Paddon for Mayo. Like, he was unbelievable in the 80s. I remember seeing him play.
Of course, Lee McHale as well.
They were brilliant, special players. Mickey Quinn from Leitrim was a great fielder as well. And Eamon O'Hara. Eamon O'Hara, Aidan, from Sligo. He was a tremendous man to go up for a ball, too. You know, it's brilliant to see the high fielding. But Aidan, the replay anyway in Roscommon, or in Croke Park between Roscommon and Cavan, ended with Roscommon winning 2-7 to 2-2. And the goals were scored by Jack McQuillan and Frankie Kinlock. And Jack McQuillan was a team clubmate of Jimmy's at St Patrick's in the Crockery, together with his brother Phelan. And Liam Gilmartin was from St Patrick's as well, if I'm not mistaken. So Roscommon won the replay in 2-7 to 2-2, and it was Jimmy's dream had come true. That's what he always dreamed of. So within 5 years of being beaten by Galway in the junior championship in Connacht, Galway's second team, Roscommon were now the All-Ireland champions. So Jimmy remembers coming home and on the train and the bonfires as the train was held up in a crockery and then into Roscommon station. Those thousands in Roscommon, and this is on the Monday. The Sunday night they were met by the then Minister for Justice, Gerald Boland. He was a dignitary at the Roscommon Men's Association in Dublin at a meal. And Gerald Boland was was a TD for Roscommon at the time. So they came down on the Monday. There was speeches made. The Monday night in Roscommon town was very, very special. Then on Tuesday, Jimmy talked about getting up and walking down the street in a crockery and all the neighbours out shaking hands. Like, it's lovely, you know what I mean? He said that in an interview, like, the neighbours, the people he was thinking of when he was, you know, tossing the coin in the first day. He was thinking about the people at home. But anyway, Jimmy Murray now had led Roscommon to the All-Ireland Championship, which was absolutely amazing. The first Roscommon man. He'll never be forgotten, you know, the first man to win to go up the Scogan stand to collect, the one and only man to collect the Sam Maguire. So Jimmy had achieved his lifetime's ambition, and 1944, Aidan, Roscommon were very lucky not to lose the first round of the championship to Sligo down in Boyle. Yeah. They drew with Sligo in Boyle on the first day, and they then beat Sligo in Boyle in a replay, and that's the first time John Joe Nerney came on the scene for Roscommon. He played in the 44 final. He was a small man from Boyle, but he was a great player. He played in the 50s as well, and he only died, I think, in 2015 as well. So in Sligo, they beat Mayo in the Connacht final, Aidan, 2-11, I think, to 1-6 or something. They beat them well. And then in the semi-final, they renewed their acquaintance with Cavan. Would you believe this? In 1944, yeah, Roscommon played Cavan again in the All-Ireland semi-final. And this time, there was no mistake about it. There wasn't any replays or anything like that. Roscommon won by 5-8 to 1-3. So, like, they won by 17 points. That was an incredible score, you know.
Yeah, they obviously were down from the year before in the...
Yeah, it's an incredible score. But Jimmy now was into a second final in a row, and who were they up against? Only the great Kerry team. And Jimmy said that to beat Kerry would have been extra special, because they were, and still are, the benchmark. And the Kerry had a great team. They were very, very big men, Aidan. Very, very strong big men. Joe Cuahan, full back, 6'4". Bill Dillon, Mort Carthy, Mick, Mark Kelly, Jackie Lyon, Paddy Brown Brosnan, Paddy Kennedy, who was an amazing midfielder, Paddy Burke, Gus Cremin. These were some of the great Kerry players of all time, and they were up against Roscommon. But the Kerry team had been on the road a long time. They'd won three All-Irelands in a row from 39, 40 and 41, Aidan. So this is an aging Kerry team, but still a very dangerous Kerry team, and a strong one. So Roscommon now went into collective training for the All-Ireland final at the old infirmary in Roscommon town, and they spent 2 weeks in there. And this time their trainer was a guy called Bill Kyo, and he had a sign over everybody's bed, and it was kick the ball in low, because the Kerry full back line were so big that it'd be a waste of time kicking it in high to them. So the mantra was kick the ball in low, and that's what they did. Roscommon kicked the ball in low, and of course Roscommon had it tough against Kerry, as you would expect, but ultimately Jimmy prevailed on a scoreline of 1-9 to 2-4. So Roscommon had won the All-Ireland by 2 points, and Jimmy had a great game. Jackie Lyon had to go on him, had to switch a player on to Jimmy because he was so good. And he said the win was sweeter in 1944 because Roscommon now had proved themselves. He said we had proved ourselves as a team. He says it takes a great
team. If it was just the one, they would have said it was just a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
So like they were proven, they proved themselves, and there was no fluke. They actually earned the title of, you know, by, well, look, it's not too many that except the current Dublin team. I suppose it's not too many teams that can win two in a row, so it's just quite special, and it takes a very good team. But I suppose that brings us on to another point, and I know you're probably going to do it in a few minutes anyway. Was the starting lineups for the Roscommon team in both years, were they fairly similar, or was there any changes from the 44 team compared to the 43 team? Or
there were changes, Aidan, like Olsey Hoare played cornerback in 43, and he was the goalkeeper in 44. And like, right, for example, John Ernie wasn't playing in 43, but he was playing in 44. So like there was personnel changes on the Roscommon team in 44, not too many, but Jimmy was still there, as was his brother Phelan, who was a great player, left half back as well, you know. So like the Roscommon team in 44, I can give you the team that played the replay in 40. Now the team that was there in 43, I'll give you the squad, right? Jimmy Murray, yeah. T. Conroy, Derry McDermott, J.P. O'Callaghan, Jack McQuillan, Brendan Lynch, Bill Carr, Seamus Boland. And then you had Frankie Kinloch, Hugh Gibbons, Donald Keenan, Brian O'Rourke was a sub, Bill Jackson, Larry Cummins, Frank Lynn, Frank Kinloch. Frank Lynn was in goals in 43. Frank Kinloch, yeah. Paddy Murray, Phelan Murray, Liam Gilmartin, and then you had, you know, they were the main men in 43. And then in 44, you had more or less the same team in. You know, you had the Roscommon team in 44. We had Owen Zihore, Bill Jackson, J.P. O'Callaghan, Jack Casserly, Brendan Lynch, Billy Carles, Phelan Murray, Em Boland, Liam Gilmartin, Frankie Kinloch, Jimmy Murray, Donald Keenan, Hugh Gibbons, Jack McQuillan, and John Early. So like, yeah, John Early had come in there in 44. He wasn't in there in 43. Owen Zihore had gone into the goals in 44. Yeah. Like Frank Lynn was in goals in 43. Larry Cummins played cornerback. He was from Curraboy. He was cornerback in 43, but he wasn't there in 44. Billy Jackson had taken his position back. Billy Jackson went back into the back, into cornerback. You know, he had been in the halfback. Billy Jackson had been left fullback. He went from left fullback in 43 to right fullback in 44. So, like, there had been personnel changes. Ozzy Hoare, as I said, that was amazing. He went from left halfback in 43 to goalkeeper in 44. And cornerback in 46, Aidan. Isn't that some versatility? Yeah. Owen Zihore. What a legend.
Usually you see, like, maybe a goalkeeper converting maybe to outfield, but it's very rare you see an outfield player converting to being a goalkeeper. But I suppose you see, because, you know, whether you're a goalkeeper or outfield, you know, you're used to the high ball and you're used to, you know, it's kind of, it's nearly, you know, it's easier to adapt.
Yeah.
If you're, in Gaelic, if you're an outfield player to playing in goal compared to any other sport, because, you know, it's the high ball, the low ball, being able to, you know, field the ball and all that. It's, you know, whereas in other sports that wouldn't be possible. It's kind of because, you know, it's great. It's good to see that you can, you know, players are that flexible.
Yeah, but like, if you look at it, we had Shane Curran played in goals and played in the forwards for Roscommon. We had Owen Zihore. Like, I think there's a lot of, between fullback and goalkeeper, there's a lot of similarity in play, because a fullback.
Yourself, you played fullback for Kilglascales as well.
Yeah, and the thing is that the goalkeeper has to nearly cover everything out to the 21 yard line. Anything that drops, particularly if you're playing against the breeze. And your fullback, if the opposition full forward tries to take the fullback out and leave space in behind, well then
the goalkeeper becomes a sweeper.
He has to nearly play between the 14 and 21 and make a judgment call as to when to read it. You know, my dad tells me the story about the 1985 Connacht semi-final replay in Tuam between Roscommon and Galway. And Galway had a very fast full forward, a guy called Ricky O'Flaherty. And Pat Lindsay was coming to the end of his career. Pat Lindsay was one of the greats, but Galway had played a lot of space. They left a lot of space up top, you know, and they were playing the ball into space, into Flaherty against Pat Lindsay. But Gay Sheeran was coming out collecting, he was playing sort of like a sweeper keeper, you know, and he got an awful lot of ball. And I hear that he gave an unbelievable display of reading and sort of sweeping up behind the full back line. That's what a goalie should be doing. The keeper should be coming off his line and playing as an auxiliary back, an auxiliary goal full back or cornerback. And it's about good reading of the game and good judgment at that stage. And like, it's important for a goalkeeper to come off his line very, very sharply. And you see the great goalkeepers now, they're out like a flash. And I think it's an advantage if you play out the field to playing goals as well. And Cavan changed their goalkeeper. Paul Galligan went from playing out the field into goals. So Paddy O'Rourke played full forward for Meade, he played in goals for Meade. So like there's a lot of, the way it's now, it's no longer a situation that you can, you're a goalkeeper and you just do no train, you don't physically train with the team. I think you need to train with the team. I think you need to do a lot of the skills with the team because, that's what's so important. I always wanted to train with the team. If I was a goalkeeper, Aidan, I didn't want to go off in a corner and get somebody to throw shots at me. That was a waste of time because you needed to be part of the action, part of the, you're part of a 7-man unit in the backs and you could be the overlap on the way out as a goalkeeper. See the Leash goalkeeper. I think he's a great goalie. Yeah. He takes the ball out now and he plays as a fullback and he comes way up the field. He joins in the attack and they know when he comes out, somebody goes back and covers him, and that's what it should be about. So
it's all about having cover if you do come out.
Exactly. But Aidan, the 44 team was basically the same as the 43 team, except Larry Cummins was gone off it in 44, and Dr. Derry McDermott was gone off it as well, and John Ginnerney and Dr. Hugh Gibbons had come in, and they were playing, I think Jack Casserly came in as well. He came in the backs. So Frank Lynn had gone out with the goals and Onesie Horgan into goals. So you're probably 10 or 11 of the team, Aidan, but Kerry defeated Carlo in the All-Ireland semi-final. Roscommon beat Cavan, as I said. And a record crowd, Aidan, went to the match. 79,245. In the middle of the emergency, in the middle of World War II. So people got on the turf trains, the turf lorries to Dublin. They hitched, they walked. Some people cycled to Dublin from Roscommon for the match. So again, the pre-match parade was a big thing for Jimmy. Kerry got into a 2-4-1-5 lead, but Roscommon showed all the character. They came thundering back, and the excitement was at its height as the crowd swayed with the game. And we remember the people at home listening on the radio. Micheál O'Hare would have been filling them in. But the last few minutes, Roscommon put their stamp of authority in the game. Kinloch put them a point in front, and Keenan added a second. McDermott had come on, Derry McDermott. He played in 43. He was fouled, and Keenan took the free. He failed to convert, but it didn't matter. The referee, Paddy Mython of Wexford, he blew the full-time whistle, and Roscommon had won by 1-9-2-4. Jimmy Murray was outstanding. His clever play posed continuous problems for Kerry, and as I said, he took two men on him during the game. He took the breaks from a great midfield of Gilmartin and Boland. So Jimmy was a great man to collect the breaking ball in. So the perfect free taken of Donal Keeney scored 6 out of 7 frees. Frankie Kinloch got a goal. The half back line of Lynch, Carless and Phelan Murray, which we spoke about, Onesie Hoare in goal, proved his adaptability and versatility, and proved to be one of Roscommon's best goalkeepers in his time. So like, it was a sweet victory for Roscommon. The Kerryman newspaper said, this is their newspaper, the Kerryman, the better team won. Yeah. There was no shadow of a doubt. In all respects, Roscommon are a side well worthy to wear the Gaelic football crown. No team appears on the horizon which seems capable of challenging their supremacy at the moment. Kerry do not begrudge Roscommon their victory. On the contrary, they congratulate them on their triumph and on their high class display of truly Gaelic football. A fine tribute indeed to Jimmy Murray's team. So like, again, there was a meal that night in the Dublin Roscommon Men's Association in Dublin where those speakers, Jimmy spoke, JJ Fahey, Dan O'Rourke. And then the following day, instead of coming home on the train, Aidan, they drove home. So the journey to Roscommon on Monday was by car, and the teams were met by a large crowd across the Shannon at Lowen. Bonfires blazed, the cavalcade made its way slowly through Kiltoom to Jimmy's hometown at Crockery, Ballymurray to Roscommon, where a huge crowd had waited patiently. And what a reception the team received. The future seemed very bright on the football scene for the wearers of the blue and gold. Aidan, so 1944 was the highlight, the pinnacle of Jimmy's career. He's now captaining Roscommon to 2 in a row. Unbelievable. Yeah. So from 6 years previous, he was on the Roscommon junior team beaten by Galway, well beaten in the Connacht Junior Championship, to captain them in an All-Ireland Junior Final and captain them in 2 All-Ireland Senior Finals and bringing the Sam Maguire Cup. And this was a young team.
I'm sure he was probably saying to himself at the time, you know, when he was losing, when he was in teams, losing to these teams, not winning Connacht finals, probably even getting knocked out in first round games, he'd be kind of saying to himself, well, am I ever going to win? Was he ever going to win a Connacht medal, never mind an All-Ireland medal? So, it just goes to show you how things can change from, you know, well, I suppose when you're down at that level, the only way is up, really, isn't it? So it's just a matter of, you know, getting the right players at the right time, and that's probably what happened, you know, incrementally over X amount of years, that where you're going from nothing to becoming a double All-Ireland winners. But you were just saying there a few minutes ago about, like, how gracious, you know, the Kerry Man newspaper was about the best team won. But I think the Kerry players and you know, even, I suppose, the best, the most modern person, say, would have been Mick O'Dwyer. He always says, you know, he's always the very first, oh, he deserved to win it, no problem. And they're all, Kerry were always very gracious, you know, in defeat. You know, everyone wants to win their All-Ireland when you get to it. But to be, it's a mark of Kerry coaches and Kerry players that, you know, that they're like that. That they say, you know, the best team won and fair play to you. I suppose, looking at a year to Sunday when Galway won the All-Ireland, and you know, Mick O'Dwyer was managing Kildare that year, and Galway won it, and he was saying, you know, we thought we had you, but you deserved it. Yeah. You know, where another manager might say, oh, well, we should have done this, or, you know, he actually gave full credit, and there was no ifs, buts and maybes. You deserve to win it.
Yep. Back to the story of the final, Aidan. 44, Roscommon had a great success. And Roscommon then, Aidan, in 1945, Jimmy was still the captain. And unfortunately, in the first round of the championship, they lost to Mayo in Sligo. Like, it was a game that Jimmy said himself that it was a big letdown, beaten in the first round by Mayo. He said that they were overconfident. That was his words. He says, Roscommon were beaten in the first round, and Kerry were beaten that year as well by Cork in the Munster final. So it was a very disappointing defeat in Sligo. But Jimmy said after the match that they'll come again. And funny, Cork went on to win the All-Ireland that year in 1945. They beat Cavan in the final. And Roscommon played Cork in a challenge match in Croke Park as sort of a fundraiser in later on in 45 after the All-Ireland. And Roscommon beat Cork pretty easily. You know what I mean? So it just goes to show that Roscommon were still a top team, but they just got caught on the day. And I heard once from a team selector that the first round of the championship is a very dangerous game. You know, it's a game that you can get caught in. So Roscommon beat Cork in Croke Park in a challenge match later on that year, and they beat them pretty well. I think the score was they beat them 1-7 to 1-6. It was a Dublin Pro Cathedral fundraiser. So 45 was disappointed, but they said they'd come back. Jimmy was determined to come back. So in 1946, Aidan, Jimmy said that this was the year Roscommon played their best football, but it was a very eventful year. Ultimately, unfortunately, Roscommon lost the All-Ireland final in a replay to Kerry. And the drawn game was one where Roscommon led by 6 points with 5 minutes to go. And Jimmy had to come off. He got his nose broke and he had to get cleaned off and get ready to go back in and ultimately hopefully collect the cup. But anyway, to make a long story short, Kerry scored 2 goals in the last 5 minutes. Paddy Burke scored one. And the other goal was scored by, I think it was Paddy Kennedy, the midfielder. But Roscommon, Jimmy said that they played the best football. Again, they were in the collective training at the Roscommon Hospital. They won the Connacht final. They beat Mayo in a replay. And you remember we sort of touched on it a few weeks ago. They beat Mayo the first day by 1-4 to 6 points in Ballinasloe. And Jimmy Murray scored the Roscommon goal. But Mayo objected to it. They said there was a problem about the goal. Jimmy actually raised the green flag himself. That was the sort of thing done those times. That if the umpire wasn't putting up the flag, the player put it up. Do you know? So Jimmy raised the flag. Mayo objected. And then the replay was in Comans Park. And Roscommon won by 1-9 to 1-2. So Roscommon won the replay comprehensively. So there's 3 matches in Connacht, Aidan. Galway in the first round, 2 weeks collective training. Mayo in the Connacht final drawn game, 2 weeks collective training. The replay, more collective training. Then they go to a semi-final against Laois, and this was supposed to be a great game, that Roscommon won by 2 points. And the hero of the 46 semi-final against Laois was Gerry Dolan, the goalkeeper, who was on the minor team as well in 41, and he's from Roscommon Town. And he was supposed to have made an unbelievable save from a guy called Bill Delaney, who was a famous player for Laois at the time. And that saved Roscommon. Roscommon won the game by 2 points, and they qualified for the All-Ireland final. So they played Laois and they qualified now to play the old adversaries, Kerry, in the final. And the game was set for the end of September as normal. So they went into collective training 2 weeks at the hospital in Roscommon. And on the Friday before the All-Ireland final, the government called off the All-Ireland. Because at this stage, we're just after World War II, the emergency was still going on, there was rationing, and it had been a very bad year. There was a lot of rain. So the government said, stay at home, call off the All-Ireland final and save the hay and save the harvest. So that's what happened. Roscommon were disappointed. They got word on the Friday that the All-Ireland wasn't going to take. Imagine that to happen now, Aidan, that the All-Ireland's fixed for Sunday, and on the Friday you get word to say it's not going on, and you're training for, you know, weeks and weeks for the All-Ireland final. But that's what happened. So the drawn game, Aidan, took place on the 7th of October 1946. Roscommon led by 1-7 to 4 points with 5 minutes to go. Jimmy got his nose broke. He came off, and the guy that was washing him said, he says, we better make you look presentable to get the cup. That's what he said to Jimmy, you know. Yeah. And Jimmy said that himself. He said that that the guys thought this was a foregone conclusion. But with 5 minutes to go, Phelan Murray was Jimmy's brother. And Paddy Kennedy was a great player for Kerry. And he said to Phelan Murray, it's your day to day, Phelan. Like he said it sportingly, you know, it was 5 minutes to go. Roscommon were totally dominant. There was no question of a comeback. But lo and behold, Aidan, Kerry scored 2 goals. One of them was kicked in from the sideline, and Geg O'Connor scored it. And the other one is Paddy Burke scored the other goal. Geg O'Connor and Paddy Burke.
Goals changed matches.
And it ended up a draw. Jimmy came on at the very end of the game, but it ended up a draw, Aidan. And it was very disappointing because Roscommon were by far the best team. Like Jimmy, he says, the line that Jimmy said himself, that the fella told him, I better wipe the blood from your face and you will look presentable when you receive the cup. The first aid man had good reason to feel convinced that the game was over, as the scoreboard was 1-7 to 4 points. But Paddy Burke, the full forward, and Geg O'Connor scored 2 lightning goals. And Jimmy said afterwards, we were only looking on at Joe Cahan remarked Jimmy Murray afterwards. This is Joe Cahan said to Jimmy Murray, we were only looking on at ye for long periods today, Jimmy. It summed up Roscommon's mastery for 50 minutes of the hour. Murray came back on the field in the dying minutes despite the injury, but victory had been let slip and the damage could not be repaired. Jackie Lyon, who marked Jimmy, does not put it down to overconfidence, but just one of those things. The first goal came nearly directly from a sideline kick by Geg O'Connor, and this gave Kerry confidence. There were 3 down, and then the second goal, Roscommon were just caught off guard. So Jimmy said, it's the one match I would dearly love to forget, but I suppose we can never forget it. He smiled. Then he says, in a way, if Roscommon had won, football followers would have been denied the pleasure of seeing a replay that has gone down in football history. So people say the replay at the end of October 1946 was one of the greatest All-Ireland finals of all time. Now, unfortunately, Roscommon lost it by 2-8 to 10 points. And, you know, it was a game where Roscommon were leading for a long time, but Kerry got a goal towards the end where a high ball came in and the goalkeeper, Gerry Dolan, got it. But he and the ball and everything were sort of bundled over the line, and it was awarded as a goal for Kerry. And they held on, Aidan, to win by 2-8 to 10 points. However, a big loss that Roscommon had that year was Liam Gilmartin, the great midfielder who had played on the minor team in 41 and had been a great midfield partner for Eamon Boland. He was no longer playing. He got sick, you know, so he missed that final. And everybody says that was a big loss to Roscommon. People say that if they had Liam Gilmartin, they would have beaten Kerry pretty easily, you know. But nonetheless, Aidan, 46 was the year that Roscommon lost the great final. Jimmy says it was the best football we ever played. We beat Laois in the semi-final. He says then they postponed All-Ireland. Then, you know, they had the replay, the drawing game and the replay. A lot of the Roscommon players, and Jimmy included, you know, they were on the go for a long time that season. There was something like 7 collective training sessions that year, Aidan. Do you know what I mean? It was an awful demand on the players, and it sort of maybe got the better of them in the end. Like Kerry,
I suppose really it's what was required. If you wanted a win, that's what was needed.
Yeah. Kerry,
players were willing to do it.
They were indeed, but Kerry were probably fresher because Kerry probably had 2 games in Munster. The semi-final they had against Antrim, the Ulster champions, and then the final against Roscommon. So they would have had 4 games. You know, 3 games to get to the final. Roscommon had 4 games to get to the final, and then Roscommon had the draw. And so Roscommon had an extra game. Kerry had maybe less, you know, they didn't have to replay the Munster final. Roscommon had to replay the Connacht final. So that was, like, the Galway game was a touch and go game for Roscommon as well. So the 2 very tough, 3 very tough games in Connacht, a very tough semi final, and a very tough drawn game, and a very tough replay. Every game for Roscommon that year was very, very difficult. So they just, it was a game too far, the replay, and unfortunately, Kerry came out on top, Aidan, in the 1946 replay. So it, Jimmy Murray, said that we played terrific football that season, and we moved like a perfect machine. That's what he said. And he says they were at the top of their powers in 46, and it was the one
their time, I suppose, really at the time. Wouldn't that fair to say?
Oh, they were magnificent, Aidan, but just they ran out of maybe a little bit of steam in the end and unlucky in the final, you know. And they were like a well-oiled machine. That's what they were. And Jimmy used the analogy as well. But 1947, Aidan, then Roscommon came back. They had, you know, the Connacht Championship behind them. They beat Sligo relatively easily in the Connacht final. And unfortunately then, Aidan, they played Cavan in the semi-final. And it was a game where the winner would go to play in the All-Ireland final in New York. And it was a game that Roscommon lost by 2-4-6 points. So it was a big disappointment in 1947 not to get to the All-Ireland final. But it was the one time that Jimmy ended up on the losing team, Aidan, to Cavan. Do you know?
Yeah.
They won that one, and Cavan went on to win the All-Ireland in New York, and they won the replay. They won the All-Ireland following year as well. They beat Mayo against the great Mayo team. It had the Flying Doctor, Pádraig Kearney, on the team. Yeah. So Jimmy said that one of his most vivid memories of his career, this is his own words, was my playing career. Is talking about the Paddy Kennedy incident, where Paddy says that you had the game won, you know. He says it's your day today, and Phelan says you've 5 minutes to go in the 46 final, you know. So Jimmy was asked why Roscommon were so successful, you know, and he attributed that, Aidan, to Dan O'Rourke, JJ Fahey, and the collective training. He says we all took great players. Donald Keenan was one of the best he ever saw taking frees. Then he says powerful men. Bill Carless had legs like tree trunks. Brendan Lynch was like a tank. Then you had Eamon Boland. You had Liam Gilmartin, Aidan. Some of the greatest players that ever played, you know. And Jimmy put that down to their great dedication to the game as well. You know, that they were always looking to get better, and they ultimately had a great run, you know. Then Jimmy was asked why did Roscommon, you know, end up with 47 being their last Connacht final victory.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it had come to the end of the line for some of the players. You know, they'd been around a long time, Aidan. They'd trained a lot. Some of them were on the go since 1939, you know, with the juniors. The minors had been there as well. Would it have been
the same management from 43 right through to that period, or was there a change of management? But I think right back in those days, the management team would have been there for quite a while. Like, there's no kind of, like, regular changes like there is nowadays.
No, I'm not 100% certain. Like, those days, I think, like, the county board chairman and secretary and would have had a say on sort of like a selection committee, hadn't they, at that time, you know? So I'm not exactly 100% on the ins and outs of who picked the team or that, but the trainer at the start was Tom Malloy. He was the physical trainer. And then they had Bill Keogh. He was a sergeant in the army. So they had Dan O'Rourke, JJ Fahey, Micheál Callaghan was there as well. So that they're great players, you know, great people around them. So Jimmy was asked about the best players that he played against, and he says Big Tom O'Reilly from Cavan, John Joe O'Reilly from Cavan, Bobby Beggs from Galway, Tommy Murphy from Leash, and Bill Casey from Kerry. You know, so he said that they were the best players, but he also named his best team ever, and that was Dan O'Keefe of Kerry, who was in goals in 44 and 46 for Kerry, Inda Collard, Paddy Prendergast, Sean Flanagan, Brendan Lynch, Bill Carless, John Joe O'Reilly, Mick O'Connell, Paddy Kennedy, Mick Higgins, Sean Purcell, Pory Carney, Sean Neal, Tom Langan, and Kevin Heffernan. Jimmy said that they were the best team players he ever saw. Now, he said that whenever he used to speak to GAA fans, there was always great arguments about who was the best half-back line and there was, of all time. And again, he said the 3-44 half-back line of Brendan Lynch, Bill Carless, and his brother Phelan. He puts that down as the best. But he also says the Cavan half-back line of PJ Duke, John Joe O'Reilly, and Simon Degnan weren't far off it as well. So that was...
Of course, it's kind of like, remember, as we said a couple of months ago, we did the best of the Roscommon's All-Star team from 92 to present and all that. And, you know, the team was picked on the players that got the most positions, but that just goes to show you that, you know, even though it was picked by the fans, there was, everyone had their own opinions on who should have played where, but it was still because of the players that they had to choose from who would be dropped. So it just goes, that's the interesting thing about teams, when you see team selection, some people agree with, you know, this player was the best player in that position at that time and all that, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's all subjective, isn't it? Like, everybody has their own view on it. But you start like the Roscommon team today, and most people would pick 12 or 13 of the 15, wouldn't they? You know, it's always the one or two. There's always one or two on nearly every team that's touch and go. But I'd say the team that the fans picked on the team from 95 to 2020 that we had, that you had there on the station, I'd say 90% of the fans would go along with that. You know, there was very, it's hard to argue with it, you know. There was, but it's the one, 12 or 13, I'd say nobody would argue with, but it's always one or two.
Yeah.
That you can always argue. For example, like Conor Cox was on that team, and some people would argue, well, he's only played one season for Roscommon. He's not around long enough. And other people say, well, Nigel Dineen should be full forward because Nigel was brilliant for 12 years. So
when you look at that team too, you see, people did say, oh, well, you know, I had to put this person in. But then they turn around and say, yeah, I had to put this person in, but then who would you drop? So it's kind of, you know, that's the lovely thing about it. Like, you know, when you see all the great players, like, you know, it's hard to pick one over the other, but sometimes you can imagine what a county manager is like. If all these players, you have 30 players to choose from, and you can only give, you know, 15, and I suppose that's the, you know, you live by the sword, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, I suppose, in many ways.
And that's why it's the case, isn't it? If a manager says he's a headache to pick a team, it's a great for the fans to hear that. And if two players are really good, it probably comes down to how they're performing at training or how they performed in the last match. You know, it's very little between them. You see there, you know, regularly where the manager doesn't know who to pick, you know, but the guy generally in form is the guy that gets the shirt, isn't it? Like, really, or gets the jersey, you know. So, but Aidan was on the run, on the go with Roscommon from 19, you know, as a minor in 1935, right through until 1947, Aidan. So that's 13 seasons he's on the go with Roscommon. And he's won 6 county finals with his club, St. Patrick's. He played in 10 finals. He's won 4 Connacht Senior Championships, All-Ireland Junior, and 2 All-Ireland Senior, and now Aidan, the big disappointment of 46, losing to the last, to the goal by Gus Cremin, was the guy who scored the goal, you know, for Kerry in the last minute, you know, against Roscommon in 46, that sent the goalkeeper over the line as well. So it was a disappointment for Roscommon, you know, but 47 was a big disappointment as well. Cavan beat them in the semi-final, as I said, But in 1948, Aidan, Jimmy's career with Roscommon was coming to an end. He was there, as I said, from 1935 as a minor, played a lot of football. In early 1948, he sustained a bad knee injury, Aidan. And that put him out of the 1948 season. It put him out of the 49 season, really, as well, with Roscommon. And then he came back to play in a Connacht Junior final in 1950. But they didn't win that, and he didn't play well. And that was his last sort of... he was 33 at that stage. That was his last campaign for Roscommon. So, you know, he was a great player, great leader, not gentleman. No, the 1946 was a replay and drawing game against Kerry, were two regrets that he had. He said he got so much pleasure out of the game, you know, that he enjoyed watching it as a supporter in later years, and he went on to manage Roscommon minor teammate and won the Connacht final in 1975, Jimmy Murray.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Did he go on to coach any teams? And I suppose, as a player, did he ever play in the Railway Cup?
I'd say he did, Aidan. I just didn't look into that, I'm sure he did, Aidan. In the 40s, I'm sure Jimmy Murray would have been the backbone of that team, you know, like Roscommon, as Jimmy says, we were a well-oiled machine. Jimmy always said the Kerry people were great sportsmen. They played it as tough as any on the field, but immediately the whistle sounds, they would shake hands with you, and there's never any ill feeling. So he spoke about his great friendship with Paddy Brown Brosnan, you know, in Kerry, and he went down to Paddy Brown's funeral and stuff like that, and Joe Cohan, the great Kerry fullback. There was great mutual respect between the Kerry team and the Cavan team and the Roscommon team. And, you know, Jimmy was one of the few men to win an All-Ireland twice, you know, captain the team twice, you know, and Indy Collar did it for Galway, Sean Flanagan did it later for Mayo, then you had Declan Sullivan from Kerry, I think Brian Duher, Stephen Cluxton. You know, not too many men have captained All-Ireland victories to two in a row. But there's one last thing, Aidan, we couldn't go without saying it, is Jimmy's shop and pub in Knockrockery. And the ball from the 1943 All-Ireland final hangs there. And Jimmy told a story about the time that, and I think you have a story about that as well, you know, about Jimmy had a story about the ball hanging and how a fire took place, I think it was in the 90s maybe, at the pub. And there was Jimmy luckily got the ball and took it out of harm's way, but he said later that more people were ringing him up to find out how the ball was than how the shop was, you know, sort of thing. He said the ball.
My dad was on duty. Roscommon Fire Brigade were on duty that night to put the fire out. So it was great. It's a historic thing to say that, like, between the firemen and between Jimmy himself, they saved, I suppose, out of the whole thing, the one thing that was the most precious thing was, aside from life, obviously, was the football, because that's something that's the most precious thing in Roscommon football, never mind just the most precious thing in the pub.
Yeah, it's unreal. It's a historical artifact. But Jimmy, like, obviously from his home village there in the Crockery, the grocery, and I think Jimmy's son John runs it now, and it's a spiritual home of Roscommon football with all its memorabilia from the successes of 40, 43 and 44. But Jimmy said himself, in one time in an interview, he said the ball was hanging from the ceiling, and of course the fire burned the strings, and the ball fell down and rolled safely under the counter. The fire happened on the Saturday night, when the fire brigade came, one of the firemen jumped off and asked me, is the ball safe? As I was watching my business go up in smoke, the ball wasn't my main priority, but the fireman came out later with the ball intact. The next day I got calls from all over the country asking me if the ball was safe. I was a bit annoyed at the time that all people seemed to be concerned with was the safety of the ball, and nobody seemed to be too bothered about what happened to the shop. But Aidan, that seems to be your father that he's talking about there, that saved the ball.
And his
friends, you know, and his colleagues.
It's still there, but it just goes to show you the memories and you know, that the people would have had of it. The one thing, you know, just goes to show you how you know, something like that, like you or me, like you see a football now, yeah, right. You know, how many balls do you see at training now, that, you know, but that was the one ball, I suppose. I suppose that was the last ball that was used in any All-Ireland final.
That's
in
it.
Relation to Roscommon. So I suppose that's why it's so precious.
And it's a nice tradition that the winning captain gets the ball too. You know, it's even to this day, the referee to seek out the captain. And little thing, Aidan, from our 92 Connacht final, you know. The referee, I saw the video of it there a while back, and I saw at the end of the game, the referee had the ball. Pat Ferger, very nice man. I thought this was brilliant. But he sought out the Roscommon captain, who was Kieran Degnan on the day, and I can see him on the video handing the ball to Kieran Degnan, which is lovely. Like, it's not an All-Ireland final, it's just Connacht final, but he handed him the ball. But Jimmy Aidan, just a final note, he was great. He's a great family man as well, you know, and his wife Anne was born in Kerry, but all her family were teachers, but her dad was from Galway, so they moved back to Galway, and they had five children. And Jimmy's son as well, I think Michael, was on the Roscommon under 21 squad in 1978 and won the All Ireland, and he played all the games up until the final. And so Jimmy died, Lord of Mercy, on the 23rd of January 2007, and Anne predeceased him in 1992. But of course, Jimmy was a great singer. His favourite party piece was The West Awake. I heard him singing that on the radio, and he was a great fan of tenors such as John McCormack and Mario Lanza. But Jimmy Murray, Aidan, is a man that will never be forgotten in GAA circles. I forgot to mention Joe Barrett of Kerry won two All-Irelands as captain, John Joe Riley of Cavan, Tony Hannahoe of Dublin as well, and Stephen Cluxton. But Jimmy Murray, Aidan, it's been a pleasure to look back on Jimmy Murray's career, the most decorated man in the history of Roscommon football. And to look back at all his achievements and what he brought to that Roscommon team, his leadership skills. People say he wasn't a big man, but that he was determined, very competitive, very encouraging of his teammates, but not shy to make them accountable for their maybe poor performance or lack of effort. You know, he would do it in a nice way. That's what everybody said, that he was comfortable leading the team. And also, he said he played better as the captain. But he was a great man among great men. You know, Dr. Donald Keenan, Dr. Hugh Gibbons, Dr. Derry McDermott, Franklin, Owen Zihore, Tom Collins, John John Ernie, John Joe Fallon. You know, the list goes on. Jack McQuillan, Liam Gilmartin, Eamon Boland, Frankie Kinloch, Aidan. Where do you stop? Bill Carles, Bill Jackson, Fela Murray.
Out of all those players, he stood out as the captain, like, you know, because any one of those players you named out could have been the captain, but he was the one that was chosen in 43 and 44, like, you know, which was great to see.
I don't know why he was chosen, but I'd say Dan O'Rourke and JJ Fahey would have had a say in that. They would have recognised, like, those leadership qualities that like Fergal O'Donnell, you know, people like that, that leadership people that people look up to. You know, that the quality that a great captain, Seamus Hayden, you know, all those guys.
Really.
Yeah, but they also do their own talking on the field, but they're great men to give encouragement to the people around them as well. Do you know, there's other players that have to be left alone to focus on their own game to get the best out of them, but there are, like the Dermot Airlies, the leaders that can play their own game, but also rally everybody else around them as well in on the field. It's like the managers represent.
The role of captain, it's not just about, like, on the day, you know, it's, you know, at training, team talks, everything, the captain has, I suppose the captain is kind of the union rep, shall we say, between the manager and the players, the rest of the players. Like, if a player isn't happy with something, they go to the captain, and the captain has a word with the manager, you know. So I suppose that there's that kind of thing as well with the captain, you know, that the, I suppose the captain is an extension of, is like a manager, an on-field manager, I suppose, an extension of that as well. So,
easy.
Kind of have to have the, it's kind of, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's all about, you know, the captain is on the day, but, you know, certainly from my point of view, having been a player and you have been a player, it's so much more than that. It's what goes on at training, what goes on, you know, at team talks, all those kind of things, you know, but I suppose the fans and all that, they only really see it you know, on match days, what a captain really does.
Yeah. Yeah, and the captain, you know, as you said there, what he says to the players and you know, encouraging them to improve their standards or bring them on and take, hold them to account to an extent that not having, not, the captain will say it. He doesn't want the manager to get onto the get on your case. You know, the captain will point it out to you, or your good teammates would point out to you where you can improve. And the great teams, each player holds each other accountable. You know, the best team I've ever been on, we've had good team meetings where everybody holds each other accountable and say, well, if a player's been selfish, we'd say, hey, you're not giving the ball off. You're taking too much of it yourself and you're not bringing the rest of the players into play. Or if somebody's missing training or somebody's making basic mistakes where they're not concentrating properly or preparing themselves mentally for the game. You know, the one or two times I've been on, you know, that I've seen really, really good teams, successful teams, been a close hand to, the players held each other accountable and everybody was comfortable with that, Aidan. Nobody was taking the huff. And
it wasn't a personal thing.
No.
You didn't take it personally. It was purely a football matter, like.
And like, at the end of the day, football's a pastime, it's a hobby.
Yeah.
As Jurgen Klopp says, it's the most important thing of the least important things in life. And you see nowadays with the pandemic and all of these things going on, it's football, it's a hobby. And we can take it too seriously and let things come to take it, you know, we all do that from time to time. But it shouldn't be, it should be in context. And the bigger picture is that it's not the most important thing in the world, football. It's nice and it's great and it's so important. But you know, with the good teams, they all recognise that they can help each other and, you know, constructively criticise, as Jimmy did. Jimmy was constructive in his criticism of players. And it said here in my reading that people were comfortable with the way he went about his business as captain, that he was very comfortable, that he always had a word for players and that he would be constructive in what he had to say to players. So that's the great thing about Jimmy Murray. Aidan, another maybe final point is that we've already done a Dermot Airlie tribute and Gerry O'Malley, and now we've spoken about Jimmy, and it's funny how each of their careers dovetailed. For example, when Jimmy retired in 1948, Gerry O'Malley was just starting out. Do you know, Gerry O'Malley was taking on the mantle as the new hero for Roscommon.
Almost generational.
and then when Gerry was bowing out in 1965. Dermot Airlie was coming in. Isn't it funny the way it dovetailed like that, you know, that we always had great players, like great leaders.
Like passing on the jersey,
Passing on the baton, So there, in summation, Aidan, Jimmy Murray was a great man, a great leader, a great captain. He was so successful with Roscommon right through the 40s, from winning the Junior All-Ireland in 40 to win the Senior in 43 and 44, captain Roscommon in 46 in the All-Ireland final and replay, which unfortunately Roscommon lost, but his legacy lives on. He's a man who's in folklore in Roscommon, and his name is known the length and breadth of Ireland in any household where GAA is spoken about him. So it's been a pleasure to read into the late great Jimmy Murray and to talk about him here tonight. And he is up there with one of the greats of all time, isn't he, Jimmy Murray, the late great Jimmy Murray.
And of course, he's a man that, as I just said at the start of the programme, it was a privilege. I consider, and I'm sure you do as well, a privilege to have known him and for him to have known us as well. You know, to say that, you know, we knew or we met someone of such legendary status in Roscommon football. But he was never a cocky man. He always, you know, he had a great time and he was a gentleman. He spoke to you. You know, he was never, you know, I'm better than anyone else. He always, you know, he was a very genuine man. And that's what we, you know, and it was nice to be in his company. And that's something that we can remember of as well. And of course, look, he would have known many a person as well. But, you know, I suppose it's the Jimmy Murray fan club, or, you know, in that kind of group of people that would have known him. So it's been an honour knowing him. So it's been a great show and a very privilege, you know, for yourself and myself to have done the show. So very well done there, Ray, thanks very much for all the research
thanks,
there.
Sir.
And, you know, it's a very well done show, and we're looking forward to the listeners listening to it as well. And we hope that they'll, I suppose, the older generation and new generation that would have, I suppose, heard stories of them, will enjoy it as well. So thanks very much for your time this evening, and we look forward to doing another Roscommon GAA Memories, and who knows, in the coming weeks we might be doing another tribute show.
Thanks, Aidan.
Okay, no problem. Thanks very much. And that was Ray Lennon, former Roscommon goalkeeper.